Hello there, I'm Colleen.
And I'm Anders. We're nerds who love science fiction and fantasy stories, so of course we love Star Wars.
And if there's one thing the internet just can't get enough of, it's nerds talking about Star Wars. So each episode, we journey to a galaxy far, far away to discuss what's new in the Star Wars canon and beyond. This is yet another Star Wars podcast.
Yes, and today we are excited to share our reactions and theories for the newest three episodes of The Bad Batch. St. Patrick's Day kind of threw off our schedule here for a little bit, so
Derailed us a bit. That's fine.
that's fine. The episodes were written by Brad Rao, Jennifer Corbett, and Matt Michnovet. They were directed by Stuart Lee, Saul Ruiz, Brad Rao, and David Villanueva. Then, at the end today, we will be discussing the new trailer for The Acolyte coming to Disney Plus on June 4th.
I'm so hyped.
I'm so hype. This is your official spoiler warning for these episodes and all things Star Wars. So if you're ready, grab a drink from your local cantina. Get your interrogation chamber ready as we discuss The Bad Batch Season 3, Infiltration, Extraction, and Bad Territory.
Such a good title. Bad
Yeah.
territory. I love that.
All right, Colleen, you ready to punch it?
I'm so ready. So ready, Anders.
Come
Okay.
on.
We start out with a lot of familiar faces in Infiltration, and that's not just because all the clones look alike. Guarded by Rex and his fellow rogue clones, Abhi Singh, the former senator of Raxus, secretly meets with Ryo Chuchi to discuss the formation of a rebel movement against the Emperor. Bum, bum, bum. Another clone assassin strikes, attempting to take them out. The attack fails, and the assassin is captured and pressed for information on Mount Tantus. Another assassin, God, they're just coming out of the woodwork now, who's really annoyed at being activated, is sent out to kill the captured clone before he can talk. Among his equipment, Rex's men, including Hauser with the good hair, my babe is back, find a register listing Omega as one of his assigned targets, prompting Rex to summon the badge to his base on Teth. Hauser is not real happy to see Crosshair.
No, he was salty.
Yeah, he was
He had
not
every
in
right to be.
this. Yes. I would be pissed off too, to be fair. Especially they like roll in and everything seems fine with the Bad Batch, and Hauser's like, fucking excuse me. This is not how this is gonna be. Oh, I mean, but this is all about what happened to him and his men on Ryloth in season one. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But then, of course, Omega and Crosshair are still adorable together. I love them. They relate what little they know about the Imperial experiments on Tantus and the clone assassination division that was formed by Hemlock. Upon hearing that they've captured one, Crosshair's like, what? Can we not?
This is like when Ripley finds out that the aliens are like on the ship, and it's like, you didn't kill it.
Yeah, you what now? What? You want to what now with the xenomorphs? That sounds terrible. Crosshair warns them of a secret tracking implant inside the operatives. Oops. But the second assassin strikes, killing the captive. The base is blown up. An Imperial retrieval team arrives, but he's led by another very familiar face, Commander Wolf, who is en route to recapture Omega.
Yep. And at that point, I saw that. I texted Colleen and I was like, by the way, I think you're going to be happy with this batch of episodes.
And folks, I saw that Wolf Pauldron, and I'm like, Dave Filoni strikes again. I'm here for it. I love this.
Yep. Into part two, where we get extraction. So the Bad Batch, Rex, and his surviving troops make their way through the ruined base, pursued by Wolf and his men. The clone assassin defies Wolf's orders and goes rogue. He's very much the he's like the Fed who comes in and is just like, no, I'm in charge.
Yeah, my
You're the local
jurisdiction, bitch.
cops.
Yeah.
I'm the Fed. I do what I want. The fugitives manage to launch a shuttle, but the assassin shoots it down, forcing a crash landing and a really rough trek to an extraction point where they wait for Echo. The assassin pursues them, battles hand to hand with Crosshair in a river, down multiple waterfalls. Beautiful scenery.
A lot of waterfalls.
Yes, beautiful scenery though.
Gorgeous.
Crosshair is overpowered and almost drowns until Hauser rescues him. And the assassin goes over another enormous waterfall.
Yeah, big Richard Kimball vibes. I didn't do it. I don't care.
At the extraction point, Wolf intercepts them upon being confronted by his old friend Rex and the truth behind the Empire's treatment of the clones. He lets them go. We're sure the
Good.
Empire is going to be totally fine with this. I do have questions about this for later. As they depart, Rex advises Hunter that in order to keep Omega safe, they have to find out why she's so important to the Empire.
Yes, that's key, friends. They really need to find out what this mysterious M count is. Ba-ba-bam. Whew. Okay, next, our third episode, bringing back even more familiar faces. Bad Territory opens up with Omega really frustrated. She
She's kind
doesn't
of happy.
like lying low when she should be out helping her brothers. Fee contacts the team, love her, let's get more from her, and reveals that while she doesn't know what an M count is, there are several bounty hunters out looking for M count targets on behalf of the Empire. Wonder why. Hunter decides to try and contact a known bounty hunter, your friend and ours, Fennec Shand, to see if she can
Our
provide any
queen.
information. Oh yeah, we stan a queen here. We love her. But Omega and Crosshair will have to stay behind. Cute Omega being like, annoyed teen face. She's just so cute. Tracking Fennec Shand down on a space station, she tells Hunter and Wrecker that she doesn't do these M count bounties, but she knows someone who does. I wonder who it is. If Hunter and Wrecker help her with a job, she'll accept it as payment for the information, and Hunter agrees.
Record not happy about this.
No, I don't care that she's hot. We gotta get out of here.
We don't trust her. Why are we doing this? We cut back to Pabu. Omega has convinced Crosshair to get his hand looked at, and AZ is examining the tremor and suggests that there's nothing physically wrong that he can treat. So maybe it's psychological. And, if he knows more about what Crosshair went through in captivity, he might be able to help. And Crosshair is just like, nope, not talking about it. Bye.
Oh man, this brought back so much Alphabet Squadron. We need therapists for everyone in Star Wars.
We do, especially when they're reprogrammed torture droids.
Yeah, we love to see it.
So then we have Hunter, Wrecker, and Fennec. They take a fan boat through Space Louisiana Bayou and hit a snag when their path is blocked by several mines. But this is exactly why Fennec brought them along. Wrecker's a demolitions expert. They should get in the water, disarm the bombs. Unfortunately, this is actually the Space Everglades, and they're attacked by several alien crocs. That night, the trail goes cold, and the makeshift team trade barbs about their skills and abilities, particularly when it comes to Omega. Like, you lost Omega. Actually, the bounty got called off because they thought she'd be safe with you. How'd that go?
Not great, Bob.
It's not great. They manage to pick up the trail. They catch up with their target. Fight breaks out. They manage to subdue them and collect the bounty. Fennec agrees to hold up her end of the bargain, sort of. She doesn't really have direct information on the end counts, but she knows who to ask, so they don't really have any choice but to trust that she's going to come through. And then when she's back on her ship, Fennec calls up an unseen contact and lets them know some clones are interested in these M count targets and probably shouldn't be hard to track down.
Uh-oh.
Wow, wonder who she's talking to.
I can probably guess, but then
Same.
I've been like brutally wrong before, but I have a feeling who this is gonna be. Ooh, all right. Lots of stuff to cover. So let's head into our reactions for these episodes. When you texted me, it was like, you're gonna be happy. I'm like, oh my God. Have we finally gotten there? Are we here? I've been waiting for this for so long since we caught up with Gregor in previous seasons. I've wanted to know where the fuck Wolf has been. Apparently, he's just like faffing about still working for the fucking Empire, though he doesn't seem to know like much about how it operates. He's just basically like, cool, I guess we still work, even though he's probably like mourning Plo Koon a little bit still at this point. We're going to talk more about Wolf and the Easter eggs, so I'm glad we know that we're like where he is now. The camaraderie between the clones is one of the biggest pluses of Clone Wars, and it's really central to the Bad Batch, so I love seeing them all together and fighting for each other. Love seeing Rex. Always here for more Rex. I like the clone assassin idea. This kind of like everything has been erased from them, so they're just basically perfect killing machines, even though they really don't seem to like Crosshair. Like none of them, which
Because
I
he
mean is
turned down the
fair.
job.
He did. He is not in it to win it. And they're like, ugh, ew. We don't want to talk to you right now. I want to know if the sassy assassin is like the number one in the squad because he seems the most capable out of all these assassins that we've seen, and just his attitude and being like, why was I activated? It's like, isn't that your job? Is that like your target
Because
job?
we needed you to be.
I guess, I was like, why are they even telling him like any reason? Why aren't they just handing him orders and being like, shut the fuck up, you have one job. I love that Gregor was called out as being the cook among the clones, because in Rebels he's so obsessed with catching these giant Jupa worms and cooking them in Rebels. So I love that callback. It's great. Crosshairs and Omega's relationship, I love it. I love that he's like the super protective big brother, but he also believes in her abilities. And when they sat and did their little meditation together, oh, it was so
It was kind of cute.
precious. It was so cute. And then, of course, it's great seeing Fennec. Great getting like this weird space Everglades situation as they're chasing after Thrombobulus Michael. He's like, oh, look, there I go, killing again. What are you doing? Chasing after this praying mantis. Oh, but it was really good. I love seeing Fennec again. Love hearing her lovely voice. How about
Yes.
you, Anders? What did you think?
So, I mean, I loved the two-parter that we got as kind of like a mid-season finale. I did love seeing Wolf. Questions? I do have questions about how we get from here to where they were at the start of Rebels, just because the Empire knows where Rex, Crosshair, and Wolf are. So if they've like betrayed the Empire, they have to at least be on the Empire's good books to not be taken out. And if Rex is like this active in resistance, how do
How
we
does
get
that
around that?
happen?
I really like, yeah, seeing Crosshair and Omega continuing to shine. I like that it's Crosshair's kind of demeanor with Omega that ultimately causes Hauser to soften a little bit, or at least like accept the idea that maybe Crosshair is telling the truth. Crosshair, again, just like, I wasn't being debriefed in my cell.
That was hysterical.
Like, Hauser.
They weren't sharing all the tea with me.
Right. You were there for months and you don't know how to get back? I didn't exactly have a window, my guy.
For real, though. Why aren't we yelling at Omega? Oh, yeah, that's right, because she's a child.
I loved Echo giving Omega the crossbow, like a slight upgrade from the energy bow that she has before. I'm not sure how I feel about the idea that Crosshair's hand is like a psychological thing. I know PTSD is something that we deal with, that he is definitely dealing with, but I really was into the idea story-wise of like the DNA degradation that the clones have a short lifespan, and we don't know how the Bad Batch's, extra mutations really affect that.
I think they should maybe go into that a little more.
Also, it's really, really subtle, but I really like some of the development they're doing with Omega just in her costuming. When she's on Pabu, she looks like she's wearing something that was kind of like locally made. She's got the jewelry, she's got this kind of like vest shirt thing that looks like it belongs in like a fisherman's village thing. So it's just a way to develop her sense of home with that area. She's not like her brothers, where she's not wearing armor constantly.
It's like she might have a chance to have a normal life.
One small gripe I have, though, with this, we talk a lot about how the animation in this show looks incredible, and it continues to do so. But with how good that is, it thought, especially on rewatch, like Fennec's face looks kind of like 1.0. It was like a lot flatter. It didn't have as much of
Expression.
the expression that a lot of the, and it's not like they don't have her stock from before. It's not like they had to invent this from scratch. So I was a little curious about that, but
She's too beautiful. That's the
I mean,
problem.
she just is. It's true.
She's too hot, so she's really hard to animate.
That's why you have to
Oh,
cover the face so
Fennec.
much. All right, let's move now into Easter eggs, connections, and callbacks. So we start off on Pantora, which is the primary moon orbiting the planet Orto Plutonia. Pantona is sovereign from the planet. It has its own government, its own senator in the Imperial Senate. We see the current senator, Ryota Chuchi. who's part of
So
the
cute.
initial
I love
formation
her.
of the rebellion against the Empire. She was adorable. I was like, I like it when you can tell how young she is. Like at the start of A New Hope, Leia is only what, like 17, 15?
19.
Oh, she's 19. Okay, she's 19, so she is a little bit older. But like, you absolutely would believe if someone just told you, yeah, Carrie Fisher's like 30, maybe. Even though I know she wasn't, but
Right, she was like 19 when they filmed, but she
you
looks
could pass.
older.
She looks older. Whereas Chuchi absolutely looks like a child. She's meeting with Avi Singh, the former senator from Rexxus Segundus. He was with the Separatists during the Clone Wars. He's making the alliance here with Chuchi to assist in the fledgling rebellion. Because, I mean, if there's one group of people who, in theory, want to rebel against a unjust, heavy-handed empire, it would be the people who joined the Separatists in good faith.
Yes, exactly. Reminded me of the moment in Andor when Saw is like, there's way too many different factions. The separatists are just out there doing their own thing. So maybe this is like Avi Singh's just out there with his own sect before like the destruction of Alderaan when they all kind of come together. So it's nice to get these callbacks and be like, oh yeah, they really were like kind of out there on their own. And next we have protecting Avi Singh and Chuchi is Rex. We love him. He is just like the captain of our hearts. Rex first allied with them earlier in the Bad Batch when Senator Chuchi was championing clone rights in the Senate and when Singh spoke out against the Empire on his homeworld. Rex has been with us since the Clone Wars film. He's been with us since the movie. That's a really long time. Anakin's right hand and leader of the 501st. So it's really great to see him again. I hope we get to see more of him. I'm guessing we might not see him again until almost the end now. Maybe. We'll see. I want more though.
I do. I
I want
want
him
to
to get
say
really
he's
mad
in.
at Hauser's hair. He's like, I've got this like blonde buzz cut and your hair is flowing and glorious. He got the good Django jeans from that.
Next up, you have the clone assassins. They were introduced as a highly trained group of clones whose identities had been wiped, as we said earlier. They're sent in when highly sensitive targets need to be taken out, such as each other. If anyone has seen the Mr. and Mrs. Smith TV series, they are the super high risk. We first saw them in season two, and we're getting to know this group a little bit better. They all really hate Crosshair for not joining them. Whether or not, how much choice he had in that matter, I don't know. I think like his mutations meant that the mind wipe didn't quite work.
It's like, wait, you still remember your brothers? Shit.
And also, I noticed their helmets really look like kind of a precursor design to the K2 security droids. Really gave me K2SO vibes. Originally, we thought Rampart was in charge of them, but they are actually trained and brainwashed on Mount Tantus. This is a Hemlock project. A theory is that the clones were given some of Crosshair's DNA since they really seem to be specializing in weaponry and have some of that loner vibe. They don't have a strong connection to their brothers like all the clones do. Now, some people are speculating that we are going to see one of these operatives turn out to be tech, and the only thing we have to say is no, don't you fucking dare.
No, don't turn tech into this.
No.
Let's not do that.
Tech died. We were sad.
We're still sad. No, just let him be, let him just be gone. I don't want that. Okay, now we're gonna move into there were a lot of clones in these episodes. Some of them we have seen before, including Fireball. Hilo was new. Greer and Samson. Fireball initially served with the 41st Elite Corps during the Clone Wars, serving under Jedi General Luminara and Commander Gree. Samson and Greer were with Rex's team in season two, protecting Senator Singh. And then Hilo is the clone commando under Wolf's command in this episode. That made me think of Battlestar Galactica and the best character on that show, Carl Agathon. Hilo, you have my heart. Where are you? What are you doing right now? Another great show. It was just so good to see like clones and actually recognize their names.
Yeah. And it was so cool, like with Wolf, how they didn't introduce him by name in the first episode here. But you do see the Wolf motif on his shoulder, and you know exactly who he is. He's been around since season one of the Clone Wars too. Originally, he was under the command of Jedi General Plo Koon, RIP.
RIP.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. You know, maybe we would have seen Plo Koon in Mandalorian instead of Luke Skywalker. You never know. No, I
Would have
didn't.
preferred that. I mean, I would like him to stay gone, but also I much rather would have had Plo Koon show up than Luke.
Wolf saw a lot of action as a member of the Wolf Pack, also affectionately known as Plo's Bros. Interestingly, Wolf lost his eye to Ventress during the Clone Wars. Since she's due to make an appearance this season, will these two meet up again? A little too soon. I mean, I would be here for her sassy comment on it.
Yeah, be like, who are you?
Like, who are you? Oh, what happened to your eye? It looks kind of sexy.
Poor Wolf, like, what?
Wolf does also appear in Rebels. He's living with Rex and Gregor on a secluded part of a desert planet. Eventually, he does agree to go help the rebellion after accidentally on purpose, routing them out to the Empire. And he's
Oopsies.
ultimately a very integral part of the final attack on Lothal and General Thrawn, Grand Admiral Thrawn's defeat. Until he
Oh,
finds witches.
love to see it. Yes. Until he finds them witches. Next, we have a nice Ryloth callback. Not only do we get the sexiest clone on the fucking show, Hauser, back, he also mentions Ryloth. This planet is home to the Twi'leks, and Hauser and her men were attempting to help Sham Syndulla and his family in season one. Good old Hera callback here too.
I actually thought for a
Unfortunately,
minute, I thought for a minute it was a couple episodes on the like secluded moon when Omega like got united with them. I thought that looked very much like the moon on Ryloth
Oh
that we
yeah.
saw. But when I looked at the skyline, I was like, nope, that is not Ryloth in the distance.
No. Wouldn't be bad though. I would love to get back to Ryloth. There's always intriguing shit happening on that planet. Of course, back in season one, Crosshair turned his back on them, turned them into the Empire. We know that Hauser is one of the few survivors from this event. So that is why he's big mad when Crosshair shows up.
Next up, we have Rex's base. It is on the planet Teth. It's a huge jungle planet located out in wild space. Colleen just wants to know where Eli Vanto is.
Where is he? We're in space, Texas. Where is Eli?
We're in space, Texas. I believe, is he still with the GIS?
Well, at this part, he's probably still really young and in
Oh no,
training.
wait, that's right. We're in the Bad Batch. We're not in Rebels. We're in the Bad Batch. Never mind.
No, yes. Currently, he is probably still with the Jets.
Rex's stronghold is in an old Bomar temple. We have seen Bomar monks before. They are the spider droid things that have the monk's brain in a nutrient jar. I don't know if we have ever gotten the question if like the brain is controlling the spider droid or if the spider droid is just like holding the jar so that the brain can
Right.
think.
Just walking around.
Yep. These temples were often used by the Hutts as strongholds. Jabba's palace on Tatooine is one of those temples, which is why there are a couple of those droids walking around.
Kind of weird he didn't kill them, but maybe they're
They
hard
don't
to
seem to
heal.
bother anybody.
No, they're just wandering around gaining enlightenment. I guess that's what they're doing. Okay, next. I'm really glad that I found this answer because I was wondering. Echo's ship is called the Remora, a former mining vessel repurposed as a stealth ship for infiltrations. Interesting detail, a remora is a type of fish that hitchhikes on larger species like sharks in order to travel long distances. So it's very stealthy fish.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Yay, biology.
Then we have the ship of Clone X, which is what those assassins are called. He flies what looks like a really Sith-like ship. It's very triangular. Looks like the ships that the Inquisitors use. Little bit that like long look that Maul's Sith infiltrator had. The exterior engines and the consoles are all red, meaning that evil is afoot.
Damn right. Please don't be tech. Don't want
Don't you
that.
dare be tech.
And then, of course, Omega mentions that pesky M count, which the clones know absolutely nothing about. The only one who seems to have an idea is Rex. He's like, I've heard this before, which makes a lot of sense because people were probably blathering on about Anakin's high midichlorian count at the time. Be like, oh, aren't you supposed to be space messiah with your high M count? Rex probably heard it so often that he's like, it's not a thing. Anakin is an idiot. I don't know about this high midichlorian count thing.
Nope. I said, we get a nice little view in Crosshair's helmet. He's got a thermal scanner, very much like the Predator hunts its prey in the Predator series. Zam Wessel also had a scanner like this in Attack of the Clones. I don't know. I feel like with the amount of insulation that they must need for like extreme environments and stuff, this thing would be pretty useless.
You would think so. Like maybe it would be good to catch warm-blooded creatures like out and about. But yeah, for unless I guess it would work against stormtroopers because their equipment is shit. But yeah, against like other clone.
Or to like get through buildings.
Yeah, maybe. I think they just thought it looked cool.
Absolutely.
Added it in for Crosshair. Another thing, really hilarious, we got a Wilhelm scream in this episode's. One of the troopers screams when he falls from the shuttle. This well-known voice effect has been used in films and television since 1951 and was used in the original Star Wars trilogy as well. It's always the stormtroopers, man.
Yep.
Always falling off shit.
Yep. But when they do it, they die.
Yeah, the people who fall are the villains, the ones that die.
Next up, Wolf mentions he thought Rex was dead. He is referring to the final episode of The Clone Wars, Season 7, an absolutely incredible episode of television, capping an absolutely incredible arc when Ahsoka and Rex's ship crashes. Ahsoka and Rex, they buried their fallen clones, leaving behind clone trooper helmets, and Ahsoka buried her lightsabers along with it. Wolf's confusion here and his loyalty to Rex allows them to escape, but at some point, Wolf will probably get punished for this decision later. Kind of like when Crosshair is like, I realized how expendable I was. Wolf is
Yeah,
about to find out.
I can, yeah, he's fucked around and he's gonna find out. I can imagine him going back and reporting, like, oh yeah, I saw her, but I totally let her go. And Hemlock will be like, what? Like you had her and oh my God. It's not gonna be good, folks. Next in our third episode, how many amazing actresses can we cram into one Bad Batch episode? At least two. At least two. We have Wanda Sykes and Ming-Na Wen both reprise their previous roles as the pirate liberator of artifacts, actually. B. And bounty hunter Fennec Shand. Now put them in a scene together, please. Yes. And if we can
That
get
would just be
Aphra in here
amazing.
too, oh, it would be
Oh yeah,
so fantastic.
we still
Like
need to
another
cast Aphra though.
liberator. Oh,
We still need to
no, I
casting.
think they're still trying to cast her.
Yep.
We could find a voice.
Next up, you have Fennec's target, Sylar Saris. He looks a lot like a Yamri, which kind of looks like a giant praying mantis. The only real canon appearances of these species is in A New Hope, although they do show up throughout several legend stories.
I love his name. I was a big Heroes fan, so I heard Siler and I'm like, oh, he bad. And I love alliteration too. So when Fennec Shand said Siler Saris, I'm like, yes. Get after it, writers. I hope we see this guy again because he was pretty cool. The bounty that Fennec is after on the run after eliminating top bosses from the Hexian Brood, a crime syndicate that appears in Jedi Fallen Order. We do get a lot of Bad Batch Fallen Order kind of crossover stuff, which is cool to see. Cal Kestis, please don't show up. We don't need that much connection, but it's really cool to like get all these little bits and details in there. And then we so cute. Omega tells Crosshair that she learned to meditate from a Wookiee Jedi named Gunji. We love him. We love a shout out for Gunji. Please don't harm him. Like, don't harm him. Good Lord. I'm like, Omega, shh, don't be like spreading this around that Gunji is on Kashyyyk because we don't need him to be harmed. Please.
And then this last one, not really a direct connection, but the space station that we find Fennec on is wheel-shaped, and it's just like the wheel in LEGO Star Wars: The Freemaker Adventures, which I will never pass up a chance to mention.
I knew you'd love it. I saw that. I'm like, oh,
It's a
Anders.
wheel.
Anders is really excited now. All I could think of was Starlight Beacon. I
I
was like,
know.
oh no.
Nope, we've only
Please
seen
don't
that in Young
explode.
Jedi Adventures.
Yes, that is very true. But yeah, definitely looked like the wheel, like a Star Wars space station. So good. So good. No notes.
All right, then, let's head into our final questions and predictions coming out of this batch of episodes for the Bad Batch.
Anders, I don't see this ending well. for the clones.
Absolutely not.
No, it's just that, like, the odds are just against them at every turn. They've got assassins after them. Now they're probably going to have M count freaking bounty hunters after them. We've only seen Rex, Grigor, and Wolf and Rebels. So, like, where the hell did everybody else go? Probably dead. Maybe they're on Space Grease having a nice retirement. But for some reason, I don't think that's going to happen. I would like to go back to Space Everglades, though. That was a really fun location,
Was
even
a good
though
location.
don't go in the water. I love Fennec's, like, I wouldn't go in the water. Get in there. So good. I do hope we get more Fennec, although I think this is going to be her one appearance for this season.
Maybe she'll be on like a holo or something before. Yeah, I do want to know how we get Rex, Gregor, and Wolf to where they go to in Rebels. It sounds like they are not the only clones that the Empire is just kind of like tracking at that point. But again, they have to be in the in good enough books with the Empire that they don't just get taken out.
I guess they think, like, they're just on Seelos hunting worms. Everything's like, they're old. They can't do anything. I
Yeah,
think this
they're
is very
old. They served,
ageism
their
for the
records are
Empire.
clean, like whatever. And I mean, I guess the biggest question coming out is Fennec was calling Ventress, right? Like, we're pretty sure that's what's happening.
Yes, that was my first assumption. I was like, it would be really cool if she was calling Boba. I would love to see Boba Fett show up because Fennec
Oh,
and him
Boba would
have a
be
kind of
great.
connection. But since we know
Well,
Ventress is coming,
Ventress and Boba have a connection too.
exactly. So, like, it would be really cool to see Ventress and Boba kind of like a team,
It
like
would.
a bounty hunting
I'm
team.
still not sure how they're going to officially bring Ventress back, because I went back and I thought about it. Like, yes, Ventress has canonically at this point died, and it's
She's in
not
a magic
like
lake. That's
I
all.
was gonna say, it's not like she died and like that was it. We didn't find the body, or like we just saw her death scene. Like, no, she died. Quinlan Vos took her body from where she died into a ship, went back to Dathomir, and like buried her, or like gave her a funeral. Like, time passed when she was dead.
Yes, she did. But I'm guessing, I guess Lady of the Lake, like this is some
I guess
Avalon shit. That's happening.
potentially it's not like, and if we're gonna do this, I just really want them to do something great with the character.
Yes,
Like, we can
definitely.
justify the yada yada hate kept him alive from all
Yes.
because they did so much cool stuff with him.
Right. That's the only thing that really saved Maul's arc for me was that everything that came after Crazy Spider Legs was brilliant and amazing, and his voice work with Clancy Brown playing his brother and their connection was amazing. So for Ventress, it's like, is she on not really a redemption arc, but more of like an atonement kind of arc? But she still seems pretty angry in the trailer. I really want her to mention Quinlan. I hope she's like looking for her boyfriend, and this is why she's looking for M count people. Like
That
maybe
could be
that's why
good.
she's taking jobs because she's trying to find Quinlan, who was, we caught a mention of him in the Obi-Wan series. So we know that Quinlan was at least still around. Like the
Yeah.
Empire never caught him, at least in canon. So if she's like looking for him, yay.
Next spin-off series.
Oh, I would be totally here for that. Tales of the Jedi, Quinlan Vos. What is he up to? Oh, he's also trying to find his girlfriend. I mean, he thinks she's dead though, so there's a lot that they could definitely do with that kind of storyline, since Star Wars isn't rich in the romance department in really any of the series except for Han and Leia.
Oh,
Because
you're not going to
I'm
count
sorry, I'm sorry,
Anakin and
Flo. I'm not going to include,
Padme?
I will include Clone Wars, Padme, and Anakin, not live action.
No, Han and Kira.
Oh, I mean, they're adorable, but I think Kira's arc is her, like, just basically giving the middle finger to the galaxy. She's a lady on her own mission. I guess Aphra has a good romance. That's actually like a gay romance, which is really good. But they still haven't translated that to screen. So a lot of people don't know about it. They're like, but where's the representation? It's like, it's all in the books.
All in the books.
All in the books. Oh, High Republic does have nice romantic angles.
High Republic has some great romantic angles. And speaking of, we got a new trailer for The Acolyte. It is coming to Disney Plus on June 4th. That does mean indicate that they are going to do what they did with Ahsoka, and it's going to release on Tuesday evening in the States, as opposed to midnight Pacific time, 3 a.m. Eastern time, and the most annoying time in the world if you live on the East Coast.
Yep, when I was in Central, it wasn't much better. It's like, really? 2 a.m.? I can't
Yeah,
do this.
can't do that. And I don't want to wake up an hour earlier, but I will watch it before I go to bed
Yes,
and keep up
exactly.
with the
Yeah, wake up.
conversation.
Wake up earlier? No.
I mean, did I? Yes, I still did, but I didn't like it. All right, we are not going to do a full trailer breakdown here, but we have some highlights. We have some general hypeness that we want to share.
Vibes. We got
Some
vibes.
vibes. And I'm actually going to start off with some of the vibes from this trailer because Leslie Headland has been saying how they did not shoot this on the volume. And I say those vibes are absolutely there. You can tell.
Yeah.
The sets here look so good in this trailer. I noticed like really small details, like when we have this opening in the Jedi Temple with the younglings, there are like scuff marks on the walls. Like this
Yes.
world feels lived in, as
It
opposed
feels
to that
real.
super high glossy thing that we got with the prequels, and we do still sometimes get with the volume.
Yes. And the aliens look really good. You can
Oh, the
tell that
aliens
it's
look
like
awesome.
practical mixed with some CGI, but mostly practical. It was like, yay. And I liked that I didn't recognize a lot of the aliens too. So we're
Yes.
getting like either a little seen species or we're getting new, which go off, Leslie. Do it. Cook. I'm here
Oh,
for it.
she was cooking. If the things in her interviews and things are to be believed, this show has all so much potential, and I am so excited for it. Oh my God.
Oh, I, yeah. I, when I heard that it was going to be dropping, I was like losing my mind in the office where I was like working on something. And the poor people in there were like, "Are you all right?" And I'm like, "No. I am not fine. I'm going to watch this trailer at least 10 times." Yeah, they didn't understand. That's okay. You know what I did understand? That Carrie Ann Moss is still a badass.
Absolutely.
Because, oh my God, she's here. She's telling us that Keanu isn't the only one that remembers his fight training from the Matrix. Oh my God, I'm so excited to see her. She looks so good.
She's still Trinity. It's incredible. Like,
Yeah, she has not aged. She turned with like to the camera. I'm like, wait, what? Ridiculous. She has like Paul Rudd levels of regeneration.
And also, we have so if you have been reading the High Republic novels and comics and other materials that have been coming out, you may recognize the character. Jedi Vernestra Rowe is here. She is an established character in the High Republic. I did have to look this up. So her species does tend to live about 70-ish years. But if you are like deeply force sensitive, it could extend your life to
Right.
be close to about 200, so she's got to be over 100 at this point. She was
Yes.
made a Jedi Knight at the age of 15, which
Yeah,
is
and
one
her
of the youngest.
master was still in Geos, and he doesn't fuck around.
No. And then she was like 15. She was, I want to say 17. She'd only been a knight for a couple of years, and then she had like a 14 or a 15-year-old Padawan, which
That
made for
was
an interesting
hysterical.
relationship.
I love that. Their dynamic is so good.
Yes, but that was the events, those events happened like a solid 100 years before this. So she's getting on in age. It is definitely worth noting. We don't see it in the trailer, but her character's lightsaber converts into a light whip, which I cannot wait to see. Like, if you put this character in here and don't do the light whip, what are we doing here?
Yeah, why would they have her live this long if we weren't going to see the light whip? Of
Yes.
course, people on the internet are already like, a light whip, that sounds stupid. And I'm like, you don't even know. We have books full of receipts on how awesome this character is.
Yes.
She's going to be amazing. Speaking of more badass ladies in the Star Wars universe, we get more space witches. Yes. Jodie Turner Smith's character who utters the line about power and those who are allowed to wield it is allegedly playing some sort of force witch. maybe not a Night Sister, but maybe an offshoot.
I don't know. I think they establish. I think they have said she's not. This is not like a Night Sister of Dathomir.
So then a light side counterpart?
I thought she still. I thought like some of her costuming kind of looked like Night Sister Remedess, but more in like blue on the blue side. So maybe like a light side witch.
That'd be cool. She's
Be really
giving
cool.
Sarah the Seraphim from Aspen Hotel. Immediately when I saw her, I'm like, wait, is she an angel? Not in a weird Anakin Padme way. For real, she looks gorgeous. I can't wait to see like what they're up to.
Next up, we did get a shot of it's on a very like lush jungle planet, but a very distinctive looking kind of like arch that reminds me very much of the one leading into the outpost on Jakku. And I'm wondering, it's are we seeing Jakku before the Battle of Jakku that ended the rebellion or ended the Empire officially destroy the entire planet?
That would be really cool. The High Republic is for this reason, to visit places that we're familiar with but
We
are
could actually go to
vastly
Alderaan.
different. We could go to Alderaan. That would be great. I love seeing a lush, beautiful planet full of gorgeous people. Basically just kicking it, having a great time. Alderaan is like one of the most perfect places in the universe. We also get yellow lightsabers everywhere, galore. And I am so into this. I love the idea of the Jedi Sentinels. The Inquisitor was a Sentinel before he turned into the Grand Inquisitor, and he has that double-bladed yellow saber in Rebels when it's kind of like the sequence where Kanan gets knighted. But we don't get to see a lot of yellow. We get Rey, obviously, at the end of the sequel trilogy having the yellow blade. But during the High Republic, there's just so many more Jedi. There's way different lightsaber colors, different lightsaber forms, different ways of communicating with the Force. I saw one person say that it's no wonder that Yoda is kind of set in his ways because he grew up during the like Michael Jordan Bulls period of the Jedi. I'm like, yeah, that's fair. No wonder he's a little out of touch
Yeah,
because
this is fair.
when he was just. I don't even remember if he's part of the council in the High Republic yet, but he just
I think
fucks
he is at
off.
this point. I think he
Yeah.
is on the council.
He fucks off with a bunch of freaking kids and goes around the galaxy doing stuff. And the rest of the Jedi are like, cool with that. He basically says, nah, I'm out. I'm good. You guys got this. The Republic is like at its most glorious time. So it'll be really cool seeing just how many Jedi are here and how many different. Just aspects of the Force and even in lightsabers that we get.
Yes, even during this time, this is when we get Wayfinder Jedi, but they're
Yes.
people, not stupid little objects that should just be a holocron.
No, yeah, none of that nonsense. Speaking of Jedi just kind of fucking off and doing what they want. That is the
That is the Wayfinder. That is the Wayfinder
Wayfinders.
way. Next up, another very recognizable face, although she is under a lot of makeup. Daphne Keen looks awesome.
She looks fantastic.
She looks absolutely fantastic. She played X-23 in Logan. She was on His Dark Materials as Lyra, and she's playing kind of a half-human, half-alien
I think
Jedi
she's
character.
feline. I
Yeah.
think she's half feline,
And
which don't get talked about a lot. So it'd be cool to see that.
again, like, having a character like that, a recognizable actress doing that, tells us a lot about this show. Like, remember one of the only real complaints of Andor was how human centric it was, that there weren't a lot of alien characters, and they for this are just going all in and they're embracing it all.
We love to see it, especially when we get to embrace a live action Wookiee Jedi. He looks so soft. I want to touch his fur. Looks great. I
That's
really
not creepy
hope,
at all.
hey, he'd be fine with it. I would ask first. Be like, sir, may I please embrace you? And he'd probably be like, eh, it's fine. I don't care. Human, weird girl. I'm really hoping that this is Buri, Buriaga. Really hoping that it's him. It doesn't necessarily have to be him, this character from the High Republic that is wonderful and amazing, and I love him. But it would be cool if Vernestra wasn't alone,
Yeah.
like with a bunch of new Jedi, since she is older. I'd love to have actual Jedi from the height of the High Republic, since this is like the tail end. Like we're heading into Sith territory, dark territory. Ugh, not the Under Siege movie, but excited just to see a Wookiee Jedi actually doing his stuff outside of animation, because we do
Yes,
have Gungi.
we do have Gungi. And then this isn't directly from the trailer, but it is, I think, worth noting the new poster, which has the lightsaber hilt coming up, and it looks like blood kind of being
The
the
blade.
blade. And then we have the tagline, "In an age of light, darkness rises." So the High Republic has two main catchphrases to it. One that character, the constant refrain is, "We are all the Republic." And the Jedi saying is very much for light and life. And it's usually accompanied by hands raising the sabers up into the air. So this kind of like blood saber being raised up and saying darkness rises is a really cool, interesting counterpoint.
Yes. Okay, we didn't have this written in the outline, but this is just one of my insane legends theories that I want to put out there. I think we're ending this show. I don't remember if they're going to do multiple seasons, but it seems
I
like
think
it
this
could
is
be set up.
planned to be several. This is planned as a multi-season show, whether that's only two, whether it's three, I don't know.
Right. I think at the end we're going to get a teenage banker, sovereign little noble bastard getting recruited as a Sith. I think we're going to get Darth Tenebris, the Bith Sith. I can, if he shows up, I am in this. I fucking love the Bith. I think they're great. Outside of the cantina, we're going to actually find out that they're really fucking smart and they can become a Darth. They can become a Sith. And I think at the very tail end, because this is kind of like the end of the High Republic era, the fall of the High Republic, I think we're going to get the rise of the Sith, even though they're still in secret. We'll get Tenebris trying to recruit Darth Plagueis, who at this point in the timeline, I think he's like a teenager. It's like maybe 12,
How
13.
old? How old are Beth? How long do they live?
Bith live, I think, at least 100 years. I don't remember how long Plagueis's people can live, but I mean, they're bankers. They want to hold on to their money forever. So they're going to try and live as long as possible. And we know that Plagueis eventually recruits Palpatine. So I don't think we'll see Palpatine. I don't think it's really, unless it's like the very last part of the entire show.
And that's got to be,
Like,
he's got to be like a kid at that
yeah.
point.
And yeah, when, well, and it's a Legends novel. Darth Plagueis is a Legends novel where you see Plagueis find this like ginger emo kid. He's a noble.
He's a
But they
noble.
find him.
They find him and say, "Hey, why don't you murder your dad?"
Seems cool. Seems fresh. Everything's fine with Palpatine. So I don't think we'll get Palpatine, but I think we might get Tenebris and maybe Plagueis by the end.
I think that would probably be good.
Bith
I don't know.
Sith, I'm just saying. I want
I'm
it.
just really happy that the show is coming. I think it looks amazing. I am ready. I am putting aside my guard yourself against being disappointed. I'm letting the hype get there.
Yes, yeah. Take your shields down. Toss aside your armor. Let the dark side like control you. Oh God, I have to say, Amandala looks great too.
Yes.
She looks fantastic. The actor from Squid Game, I didn't know that he was going to be playing like this centric of a role. So I'm really
Yes.
excited for him. I loved him on Squid Game. I wish he would do more. And I think this kind of segue into Western media will be really good for him. I have a really bad feeling that the scene at like the very end where you kind of get that Sith energy with the big wave of cloud, I have a really bad feeling all of those people are going to die, because
Possibly.
in the prequels they thought the Sith had been exterminated for a really long time.
Yeah, the news of them does not reach the Jedi Council.
Yeah, be like, everybody's dead. What happened? It's a mystery.
Don't know. Maybe Manny Jacinto was just there for some reason.
Be like, there's no one left to report what happened. Like, shocking. Oh, especially if it, I mean, it obviously has to be some sort of Sith, right? At least a dark side user. There's a red lightsaber. Like, what are
No,
we
it has to
doing?
be, and I think that's part of what this show is dealing with is how were the Sith able to kind of mark their rise?
Plagueis was really good at math and accounting. Let's face it, Darth Plagueis, even though he was like the weird Dr. Frankenstein of the Sith, was really smart and really rich. And he had his own private wealth that he could use to like further his experiments and stuff.
The one
So
thing he couldn't foresee was,
making a baby.
his Sith apprentice doing what Sith apprentices do.
That was wild to me. Although he was kind of out of it by the end of the book
He
in
was also
Plagueis.
wasted.
Yeah, super drunk, super just like, yeah, out of it. But he was like, Palpatine, we're totally going to rule together, right? What? It's like you forgot what you did to your own master. Oh, great. I would love to see a series on Plagueis too eventually. I don't think this is that series. I think this is more going to be about how the Jedi decline.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have anything else? Any more ideas, thoughts?
No, I think we're good.
Okay. Yeah. Basically, we're just really excited
I'm so
about
excited for the
seeing.
Acolyte.
So excited for the Acolyte. Excited for what's to come in this second half of Bad Batch season three. Ugh, so much content for us this year. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us today. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at YASWPod. Follow us wherever you're getting your podcasts and hit that subscribe button. Check out our previous episodes on the main Star Wars films and other great Star Wars content. And join us next time when we take a look at the next episodes of The Bad Batch. Until then, don't get into the water if you want to avoid the space crocodiles. We do not have Star Wars Steve Irwin people. We don't. We don't have him. And with that, we will bid you farewell. Cheers and goodbye, everyone.
Bye, everybody.